With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Feinbaum is a Memphian. He is the host of the Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN Radio, and the SEC Network. Let's make him the Giant Interview.
Now, it's the Giant Interview, presented by King of Clean, with electrostatic cleaning, pressure washing, and much more for Memphis and the Mid-South. The King of Clean Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Mr. Feinbaum, how goes it?
Jason, John, thank you. Great to be back on. And, man, things are starting to happen, aren't they?
They are. They absolutely are.
What do you think? I mean, it's here. I mean, it, yeah, technically. No,
it's utterly amazing. You know, 5-6 weeks ago, you couldn't have gotten this bet in Vegas, or at least not a very good bet. But, yeah, I think people, thankfully, persevered. And, you know, it's going to be a long couple of months, but who cares? I mean, it's better than sitting around talking about I'm not sure what we would be talking about, but it's been a pretty amazing. I mean, we're a month away from when the Big Ten and Pac-12 shut down, and you know, really everything has gone right for college football since then, and everything has gone wrong for the Big Ten.
What is the lesson? And maybe we don't know it yet. Maybe we will find that out in time. But is there a lesson in any of this, in all of this, about college football? Is it that there is absolutely positively short of a nuclear missile launched from elsewhere that nothing would stop college football from happening?
Well, I think that's what people will say, but I think one lesson is very fundamental. Just if you don't have to make a decision, don't make it. I mean, how many times have we all said, I'm done. I'm not doing that anymore. Wait till the last possible minute before making a call. And I realize this thing could blow up tomorrow. But if you're sitting there as one of the 14 Big Ten schools, you have to be asking yourself, why did we make that call on August 11th? Yes, the situation was grim. Yes, myocarditis was scary, but all you had to do was stay the course, delay the season, and I mean we've already seen it last Saturday night with Memphis. We're going to see it tomorrow night with Miami. It's been weird. I mean, the game Monday night was hard to watch. Their games being postponed, but I really don't care about that anymore, and I'm not overly concerned about scare headlines. I mean, I think, let's see where we go, and if we get there, fine. If we don't, at least we tried.
How concerning, you mentioned concern, how concerning then we saw the news where Lincoln Riley says he's no longer going to publicly release the test results for coronavirus. And frankly, Paul, it feels like that's the case in a lot of places. We're seeing something similar at Memphis. How concerning for you is that? Do you agree that the competitive disadvantage line, or at least that's the narrative he's spinning?
Yeah, I mean, I it's hard to get outraged over it because he's doing what every big-time coach and middle-time coach is going to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are competitors, and I think it's wrong. I think it's an important – we're not talking about a nagging injury here, an ankle, a tweak that may or may not put the starting quarterback in a game, but we knew months ago that if we got to September and there was football – that the coaches would try to figure out a way, and they are going to. And I do this every day like you guys. I still don't understand the protocols. I mean, I know there's going to be a lot of testing, but the thing that seemingly is driving these coaches crazy is the contact tracing, because right. It knocks out players that aren't COVID positive, and you know, we heard that from Jeremy Pruitt the other day.
Right, and I guess the hope would be that with advancements in, you know, rapid testing, that you don't have to do that. But really, who knows? At this point, Paul, what could end this? I mean, now that we've sort of the ball's rolling. I mean, the SEC and all. But what is going to keep these? You know, what's going to stop it? Is there anything at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are always scenarios. I mean, just already, the Big 12 had a couple of games canceled. By the way, none that were all that, you know, Baylor and Louisiana Tech, I mean, I'll get over it, okay? There are a couple of other ones. But I think when you get 2 weeks from now, and, you know, suddenly Alabama, Missouri, and Tennessee, so, I mean, you start getting two or three games knocked out, and this happens a week or two in a row, and get that unfortunate player who gets really sick. And I think that's really been the line you've heard constantly is, you know, the hospitalizations are almost non-existent. Young people aren't getting sick. I mean, that's great. I'm glad to hear it. But if that were to ever turn, I think it would cause some issues. And just, I mean, it's not the same situation as it was back in March mm-hmm. with Rudy Gobert, but it does, you know, the media now has been lulled to sleep. I'm immune. I mean, I've got COVID fatigue. I'm sure. I mean, that's right. Not maybe the wisest thing to say, knowing that people are suffering, whether it's from illness or economically. But I mean, there's only so many times you can have the same conversation.
Yeah, we're of course talking to Paul Feinbaum, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show, catch on ESPN Radio and the SEC Network. You know, one I guess unintended consequence of the Big Ten and the Pac-12 deciding to postpone their football seasons is that schools like Memphis get an opportunity to step into that spotlight. And that's exactly what happened on Saturday, Memphis versus Arkansas State. And, you know, this is probably an opportunity Memphis would not have otherwise had. What did you make of Memphis? And what do you think of opportunities like this for schools like Memphis who are, you know, going to have national TV audiences that, again, they otherwise would not have had in a normal year?
Well, I think it was fabulous. And, you know, Memphis has had some good moments, you know, especially with the primetime game and game day last year. And, you know, I mean, this is a program that's been on the map. But, you know, you get a night like that, and normally on a Saturday, I mean, there are so many games competing with each other, especially as you get into September and October, you have baseball. Basketball is obviously on a very strange schedule, but you know, it's hard to stand alone. I think Memphis did that once last year on that primetime Saturday night game on ABC, but you know, rarely has it been the focal point. And what's really interesting, I think, and you know, people can debate this all they want, but as long as Memphis wins, Memphis fans can at least make a claim that we are alive for the college football playoff. And that's something that in a normal year is just impossible, because there is probably not that game that they can hang their hat on that gives them enough juice. Now, they may still not have that, mm-hmm. but at least you keep it alive until you finally get to the better schools in your league and whatever. Because I mean, right now, I don't think you're going to see anyone outside the Power Five. But it's not impossible. I mean, you could see just, you know, an utterly bizarre season unfold where you get a couple of teams that literally cannibalize each other, or maybe an Alabama team doesn't play one weekend and it knocks them out. So I think that's probably the best concept, the most, whether it's intended or unintended, that's what Memphis benefited by being the spotlight game on Saturday night.
What's good for Tennessee this year, Paul? I mean, we see they're on the uptick, feel like Pruitt's got it under control now, but with that schedule, is 5-5, let's set aside COVID, say you get through 10 games on your schedule, is 5-5 good for Pruitt this year? Is that progress?
I don't think it is. I think what in a strange way to answer this, progress is not slipping back. Mm-hmm. And you know, Tennessee last year had a good record, it didn't really have a, what I would call great wins. I mean, it threw away the first part of the season so badly with the first two losses. And I think what it has to avoid is getting off to a bad start. What I mean by that is you lose to South Carolina and suddenly you are in trouble.
Right.
I mean, it's a compressed season now, and I don't think we're used to it. We're used to thinking Tennessee's going to get three or four non-conference wins, although this year against Oklahoma, I'm not sure that would have been the case. So, yeah, you know, I with a 10-game season, you start off 0-1, and then you got Georgia coming up pretty quickly and Alabama, and you could be in trouble quickly. I also think the end of the season is important for them. They have to beat Florida. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt is ultimately going to be considered a moderately big-time coach. You can't lose to Florida every year.
You know, I want to go back to sort of the Big Ten and the Pac-12. There is now, you know, political leaning going on with the Big Ten as politicians have asked the Big Ten to rethink the postponement. They seem pretty resolute in their decision. But what's the end game here, Paul? I mean, do you think they ultimately just stick with it and don't play again until November? I mean, at this point, it feels like that's probably the most likely scenario. Is that sort of where you are on it?
Yeah, I think the only way they were going to be able to save face would have already been to announce we're coming back first week of October and let the football playoff wait for them, which they probably would have. But it's over now. I mean, you're coming back in late October, November. It really doesn't matter. They're not part of the playoff. And with a team like Ohio State, which by all accounts was, you know, one of the better Ohio State teams in recent history, and that says a lot considering they won one national championship under Urban Meyer, probably should have won another one the following year with Ezekiel Elliott. And then the team last year was certainly good enough to be in consideration. But the politics are terrible. I watched the governor of Michigan on television this morning, and she's clearly against playing. It was really pathetic listening to her answer a question. Well, you know, it's too bad, but there'll be football next year. Well, I mean, if you're a Michigan football fan or an Ohio State or Wisconsin fan, that doesn't really satisfy you when you're sitting around Saturday, whether you're at a bar or at home, watching college football being played.
You know, one thing I find really unfortunate about the way college football is at least set up right now, again, setting COVID aside, is the fact that you can't have a Memphis and Tennessee play every year. We've even talked about with you about the importance of that basketball rivalry and how it feels like something you just should do. And Memphis has been in a position where there was no value in it for Tennessee. But now that the program's reached a level now where you've got some national attention, there's value there. We understand it's hard, though, for Memphis to get those games because if you beat a Tennessee, that can ruin their season. But can we get back to a point, Paul, where you've got teams like that, potential rivalries like that just happening just because? You ever think you can convince Tennessee again to play Memphis every year?
Probably not. And, you know, having been on both sides of that rivalry, as you guys know, I mean, the view from Knoxville is really fairly pathetic. I don't know why they still have that view, considering how bad that program has been. But, you know, the game, what was it, nearly 20 years ago that Peyton Manning lost really, really stuck with them. Yeah, I remember that. That was a fun game, and it should be a fun game. But, you know, Tennessee I don't think will go that route anymore. Frankly, I don't know why. Going out to Oklahoma, Oklahoma has not – that game is not going to do them a whole lot of good. But they just feel like, you know, Tennessee feels like it's better than Memphis, and that they always have. And, you know, I don't know. There's only one way for Memphis to change that, and is to keep winning and change the paradigm.
Yeah. And then last thing, Paul, I'm sure you've seen the reports this morning as the rest of, you know, college sports tries to figure out what it's going to do. The ACC is proposing that everybody, every single team in Division I, that's 351 teams, make the NCAA tournament. Does that sound appealing to you?
Well, I think the reason they're trying to do that is to make sure everybody plays college basketball. But to me, that's already the purpose of the college of the ACC or the SEC or any other tournament. I don't know what they said about that, but how are you going to be able to sell a conference tournament if everyone's already going to move to the next level? But because I'll watch it. I mean, all we're talking about is another weekend. But you're destroying a big moneymaker for every one of these conferences. And yeah, it's pretty exciting. You know, pick your conference. You know, when a team comes out of nowhere and is playing Saturday or Sunday, whether it's, you know, Conference USA, whether it's anyone else, and you know, if that is not a prize and there's no automatic bid, then what's the sense of playing those tournaments?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Paul, man, we appreciate the time as always.
Thank
you're
you,
a busy
Paul.
Man. Thank you.
Guys, it's always a pleasure to be on. See you guys.
Yep. He is Paul Finebaum, host of the Paul Finebaum Show on ESPN Radio and the SEC Network. We'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.